Over the last week and a half, we've had the FIFA World Cup come on board, and a lot of people I know are suffering from sleep deprivation, staying up too late, watching the games, getting too excited, and then they can't sleep properly, or having it in the background with the noise on. But there's also a bit of a move in the US. In the Washington Post, it's just been declared that sleeping in the office, can you believe this, is making a comeback. Well, I can't believe it. I've never slept in the office. Have you ever slept in the office,
Not
Jimmy?
Yet, no.
No, Sam's nodding his head. I've never done it, nor the three of us in here. But let's find out from our expert, Deb Herdman, if this is a phenomenon coming back, making a comeback, sleeping in the office. G'day, Deb. You're our sleeping expert here on Afternoons. Is this a real thing?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things that, you know, comes up every so often and then goes off and then here it is back again. Sleeping in the office. Well, like everything, Rusty, there's advantages and disadvantages. It actually can help you improve your performance and concentration for up to about 3 hours after you wake up from your nap. But here's the bad news. It can affect your nighttime sleep. And why it does that is it's because it knocks off something that we call sleep pressure. It builds up right through the day so that by the time you go to bed at night, you're pretty tired and you want to go to sleep. When you have a nap in the afternoon, that interrupts sleep pressure, so therefore you can't fall asleep easily and you actually might get broken sleep. What is advisable if you really do need a power nap is to make it really sharp and short. So 10 to 20 minutes maximum, sleep in a noisy place, set an alarm so you don't go over that time, and have your nap at least 6 hours before you go to bed at night.
Now, I don't mind having a little, look, I'll admit this, if it's a weekend or if I'm on holidays, which I was last week, I don't mind having a little siesta in the afternoon for half an hour to an hour. It just gets you going through the night beautifully. I just sort of do it late afternoon. Is that a good time to have a one-hour siesta if you sort of got that opportunity to do it?
Well, as long as it's at least 6 hours before you go to bed. But what you'll find, Rusty, is that if you have too long a nap, it affects your deep sleep at nighttime. So therefore, when you go to sleep, you might spend the night tossing and turning in the two lighter stages of sleep and wake up feeling quite fatigued because you haven't had the deep sleep that you need when you go to sleep at night.
Deb, how did you become a sleep expert?
I had one of those children that wouldn't sleep, Rusty, and being an RN, I've been nursing for many decades. I got really involved in let's fix this up, and it really opened my whole world up to lots of things about sleep, and now I treat all ages with sleep disorders, insomnia and circadian rhythm problems.
And as a sleep expert, what do you suggest to people just to have that one sleep a night? What is the best way? Do you get in a routine? I know a lot of our team in here works strange hours. The morning boys are in here at 3 a.m. and the late. Yeah. We've got people that work right through the middle of the night. We're 24/7 alive and local. So there is different people with different sleep patterns. But what is your ideal process for someone to ensure they get their sleep in? And how many hours would that be?
Look, having a routine really is important. For adults, between 7 and 9 hours is the ideal time. 6 is the minimum, 10 is the maximum. If you're somebody that's coming off night shifts, when you leave the office, if you put on some sunglasses, what you don't want to do is expose your eyes to bright light because that's going to halt your melatonin and you're going to find it harder to fall asleep. So put on some sunnies and try and keep out of bright light. And some melatonin may help you in those situations, but it's not something that you need to take all the time.
Now, this sleeping in the office phenomenon which is coming back in the US, do you think that is there something in there for us here in Australia? Is it known to be a thing that people do here in Australia?
Look, I don't think it seems to be as popular as some of the Asian countries have developed sleep pods and, you know, little pull-out areas in the office that they can get a nap. But, you know, some countries are notoriously bad sleepers, like far worse than what we see in Australia. But what the experts tell us, what the research says, is your best sleep is at night.
So best sleep is at night. But Is it the longer hours that we seem to be working? Is that having an effect on sleep patterns? And is it the amount of time we're spending on contraptions, on devices?
Well, certainly the longer hours you put in, it puts us all under more stress. And when you're more wound up and more stressed, you do, it does affect your sleep. As for devices, for some people, devices actually help them fall asleep. It takes their mind off worrying about, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, what am I going to do? For other people, though, it gets them into a state that we call flow. So that means they can't actually switch off from their device. If you've got one of those brains where you know you've got a big day on tomorrow and you can close everything off and go to sleep, that's fine. But if you're one of those other people that, you know, keep watching Netflix, the next movie and the next movie, or whatever you're doing on your gaming or whatever you're doing, and you keep going, then that could be a problem for you.
So, and a warm shower, does that help people get to sleep early?
A warm shower can do two things. It can overheat you, especially if it's coming into summer. So if you don't have air conditioning, it can make you too warm, and the body needs to cool down to be able to signal its sleep time. For other people, it might be something that helps them relax. So a lot of the things that we do with sleep are experimenting and figuring out what works for you and what doesn't. For me, I play piano. If I play piano in the evening, there's no way I'm going to fall asleep. It just wakes me right up. So, you know, have a bit of a play around with what works and what doesn't for you.
There we go. That's Deb Herbman. How good's that? So we know now, our sleeping expert here on Afternoons, if you've been staying up a bit late watching the FIFA World Cup, or you've been just watching all this binging on Netflix or whatever else you're doing, you know that there's a better way of doing it. Get that regularity back to your sleep patterns. I think that's the key that we take away from that. And I hope that that's some help to you here from Afternoons. We're coming up next, though. We're going to talk about vitamin K1. If you don't know what vitamin K1 is, don't go anywhere.